Hi, welcome to Starting Cycles, the podcast where we adapt the science of positive psychology for the context of motherhood to help you start cycles of generational well-being in your family. My name is Catherine. I am your host, and Starting Cycles is my offering to the world. Today, I talk with Laura, a mom of two. In the episode, Laura and I talk about how to ask for what you need at work in order to bring balance into your life as a working mom. We talk about how being a successful mother really just means to be a real person in front of our kids. We talk about how it's important to include your kids in the things that are going on in your life and to teach them why those things are important to you, to your well-being. And one of the key things I realized is that by heavily prioritizing my son, while I'm giving him all the attention and showing him that he is unconditionally important, at the same time, the messaging I'm giving in my action is that love is to put someone else's needs supremely above your own. That to love is to sacrifice and deny yourself. And that's what he could pick up. Now, of course, when they're infants, the balance is off and you do disappear. You lose yourself. But as they get older, it's important to find the balance between showing them that they are important and that we too are important. And I feel that maybe I'm a little late on making this transition to adapt my messaging. So now, if my son is calm and absorbed in something, I say, I'm going to work for 2 hours because challenging myself is something that brings me a lot of satisfaction. It's important to my well-being, so you do you and I'll do me for a bit. We also talk about the idea of real a lot. What is real and sharing what's real? And how so much of the time we just say we're fine when actually we aren't. And the thing is, as we all know, motherhood is hard. And we struggle because it is hard, not because we're doing something wrong. So why are we afraid to admit when things are difficult? So I want to challenge all of you right now, if someone asks you how you're doing, instead of saying I'm fine, tell the truth. And with that, let's dive in. I would like to start by asking you simply the moment when you started focusing on becoming a whole person, or however you define it, whether that was in motherhood or prior to motherhood, or what is that story?
Ooh, wow, that's a good question. I think it's been a journey. I will say, I think motherhood has changed me a lot in terms of my priorities, the way I view myself, the way I view my family. I think all of those pieces. And I think the best way that I could say, I think I'm at a good space now of having somewhat of a good balance of kind of work, home, parenting. But I will say I got there through a lot of trial and error of really doing it wrong and feeling just right, completely exhausted or feeling like I was failing in a lot of different areas. So I won't say it's a completed journey. I think it's a journey that you'll continue on, right? And I, as my girl, so my oldest Ella is 4, my youngest is 1. It changes with, right, their age and their developmental levels and what sorts of demands are placed on my time just with them. I think for me, it's just been this evolution and getting more and more comfortable in that role as a mom. And I think also being more and more okay with the fact that I don't have it all figured out right now either. I think that's the uncomfortableness is starting to become more comfortable.
I love that. I think it's such a salient point because I literally had this a couple of months back and it took me by surprise. I was like, okay, I think I've just figured out how to be a mom. And then the kid changes. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, now I don't have it figured out. And I didn't expect that. And I was like, okay, so we're never going to be in a position where it's all figured out. But understanding that, as you said, it's a continual evolution. It's continually, you're always learning. And so long as I like to say that I'm succeeding as the image that I have in my head of what I want to feel when I'm succeeding, when I'm really agile and responding to the changing environment, which means I'll make a mistake and then I'll be like, okay, what's going on here? Has he changed? Have I changed? What's happening? Agile, and let's try to turn back towards the direction. Tell me more about the initial time, because you said how at the start you had a lot of trial and error Tell me more about that.
Okay. First time being a mom with Ella. I say it was really, truly a shock to my system. So much of my life had been spent on pursuing personal interests, right? Pursuing my work goals, getting my master's degree, really, right? Climbing, right, the ladder in whatever situation I was in, to really all of that halting was really traumatic in my life, because so much of my life had been wrapped up in my identity of what I was doing at work. So maternity leave, honestly, was really difficult at first to just 100% step away from everything and be home. And then coming back from maternity leave, trying to find that balance again, because what I found was I tried to go back to everything at the same rate I was doing it before, and very quickly realized that's not going to work. So I think it took a while, and it was in all aspects, right? My social life looked different. My ability to work out and even do anything physically active looked very different. My work schedule of what I was able to fit in or not fit in, right? Evenings, mornings, those sorts of things around childcare all looked really different. And then even just my energy level, right? By the time I did actually get the kids to bed and had some time of just, do I actually have any time and energy? And I think for a long time, I felt that pressure that I think a lot of women and moms feel of, I have to still be able to do everything. And so it was trying to cram every last minute of my day in order to check the boxes and give the perception, right, that I had it all together and was able to do everything. And I think with my second daughter, Nora, I will say that was much more freeing. I didn't care quite as much. I think I had adapted to just what life looks like in this season right now. So I did find that to be a bit of an easier transition for me. But I will say it was my own expectations around what I wanted it to look like, or what I thought it should look like, or what I thought it meant about me if I couldn't do something, right, that I was previously performing and doing. So I think that was just, it was like a grieving journey too, right, of giving up some of those pieces and just recognizing that a season of my life has passed and I'm in a different season of my life right now, but also learning how to be present and just enjoy this season too.
So you said that these were the expectations that you had, and this expectation that you could do it all, you could still maintain your previous life. So obviously you thought that those expectations were linked to you being a successful mother. What do you now think of in terms of being a successful mother, and how is that different from the previous expectations you had?
I think a lot of those expectations, like I said, they came from myself, and a lot of it, I think, just we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect in our own mind, right, of what we think that perfection should look like. I will say I have changed to appreciate so much more other mothers and friends who are willing to be vulnerable and acknowledge where things are just hard, or they feel like they're failing, or they feel like they're struggling. And I think that takes some courage, right, to be that vulnerable, to say I'm not doing everything the way that I would like for it to be done. Or just being able to say, I'm not going to be able to do that, right? And bowing out of something and not making the commitments that you know are going to stretch yourself too thin, because you know it's not good for yourself or good for your family. And I do think now also my support system has changed immensely. Not that I didn't have friends that weren't mothers before, but I do think that the majority of people I spent my time with when I didn't have children were also people who didn't have children, because their lifestyles were more in line. And now that the majority of my social support network that I spend the most amount of time with has children who are similar ages of my kids or who have recently been in that stage. And I think they just also have an appreciation of what's difficult and how important routine is, or right, why you have to do something a certain way. And so I find that having those other mothers who can acknowledge that and support that and are willing to bend and flex around that also makes it possible to have that social life, right? And have that social connection, because it's something that's now working with my children versus I'm a working mom. Being with my kids is really important to me. We don't get babysitters a lot. If we're not at work, I want to be with them. I want to spend my weekends with them. I want to spend my evenings with them. I think that's also challenging when other people's perceptions might be, oh, we'll just get a babysitter for the kids, and mm-hmm. right? It might not be what I want to do with them, or what's best for them, or what they need right now, also after having time away from mm-hmm. me. So I do think that's been probably the biggest game changer for me, is having other moms who are just vulnerable, understand what it's like. I think they can also, I have a good friend right now, and luckily lives across the street from me, which is so mm-hmm. wonderful to have a mom who lives that close to you. Her son is 5 months older than our daughter, Ella. And so she's also on the front end of a few things of saying, hey, we just went through this. How is this going for you? So she's anticipating some of the things that she knows are struggles, whether it's a transition that's happened with the developmental age or something that's happened with all the changes that kids go through at school. And that's been so helpful just to have somebody that you can talk about that stuff with.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the reason for this podcast as well, is to be able to talk about that stuff. I live super remote. There are no other mothers around me. I'm in the middle of the Panamanian jungle on a copper mine. There are no other families here. So I find that a lot of those conversations, I don't get to have them just with the next door neighbor. And of course, all the other moms who are going through this, it's really hard to get hold of them because they're really busy at that particular time that I'm going through the same situation. So that has definitely been a struggle. But when I do have those conversations and we do get to that vulnerable point and we share the reality, it feels a lot better. It's okay. This is normal. And on that theme, you've mentioned twice the idea of feeling like you're failing. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I'm really trying to ascertain through this podcast and through my conversations with other women, what actually is the standard that we should be aiming for? Because I feel like when we do make a certain amount of mistakes and when we do learn, I feel like that is actually the best we can do. So I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this idea. And I really want to redefine the idea of feeling like we're failing, because we can't be perfect all the time. It is continually evolving. Things are always changing. So there inevitably are going to be one or two mistakes at a transition point. What's the point of us feeling this negative feeling of failure all the time when realistically, like, we can't actually do any better? What do you think about that?
I think the feeling of failing comes from just expectations on ourselves that are unrealistic to meet. Right. And we put those on ourselves. No one else is putting that on us. It's expectations that we feel that we should be doing, that we think that we should be doing. And I think I've come to recognize also that there are going to be areas of my life that are going to get more attention at some times versus others. And I also have to be realistic and okay with that, and thinking that I'm going to be able to juggle, right, 5 balls and keep them all up in the air at the same time without dropping any is also just an unrealistic expectation. And so I've been trying to also come out of that in my own right head as I am giving myself those messages. One of the things I really appreciate, my role at work, I get to mentor and oversee other staff. And I often get to talk to new moms mm-hmm. who are coming back into the workforce, mm-hmm. right? And just acknowledging to them how hard it is, and acknowledging to them that they don't, right? Saying the words, you don't have to pretend like you have it all together, giving them permission to put their family first, to let us know where things are at. And I think also giving people permission to also say, this just isn't the time in my life, right? It's not my season to pursue this. And it doesn't mean that someone doesn't have ambitions or career goals or, right, a desire. It's just they're choosing to put their energy somewhere else. And that was really hard for me, right? It was really hard for me in my role, where so much of my life up until now had been higher education and pursuing career goals and, right, moving down this pathway, to all of a sudden say, it's not that those things aren't important to me. They still are. It's just, this is not my time mm-hmm. to be pursuing that, because if I pursue that, it will be at the expense of this other thing over here, which is my family. And that's more important to me right now. This is my priority. which, right, sounds really easy. I think we can all say that and make that decision. But then there comes like this feeling inside, right? Of, right, am I failing at my work now? Or if I'm putting my energy to my work, am I then failing at my children? And I think that's taken me, it's been a journey for me to get to the point of feeling that I can be a working mom and still be a good present mom with my kids at the same time. And like, how do I set boundaries around that for myself? And also feeling like it's okay to have boundaries at work, right? So that I can be that present mom for my kids at home. And I love the fact that I get to model a lot of that for other people, other moms who are struggling with some of those pieces as well.
So that is huge. And I would love if you could share more about how you found that balance, how you keep those boundaries so that you, as you say, feel you're both being a good employee and a good mom at the same time. Because I think that's something that, as you say, many women struggle and you're able to mentor women. So could you share a bit more about the type of advice that you give?
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I had horrible boundaries. At first, I was burning the candle at both ends, trying to make it all work. And actually, I got a mentor. That was really the most meaningful thing for me. I had a mentor, and she was the one who would just point out to me the pressures I was putting on myself. She's also a mom. Her kids were much older, so she had already been through the season of her life. And she was really the one who challenged me to really reconsider even just my work schedule. In mornings is a big deal, right? I have two kids. I'm trying to get them up, get them dressed, get them fed, right? Get them out the door to daycare so that I can get back home and work or get to the office and work. And she really challenged me. I was talking with her about how stressful that was and how stressful mornings were just at our developmental age, right? My daughter was wanting to do her own shoes and do her own zipper, which slows everything down, trying to get into the car to go. And she was the one who challenged me to say, Laura, why are you doing this to yourself? And she said, who is telling you that you have to be 100% in the office, 8 a.m., dressed and ready to go? She's like, you actually have more autonomy, more control over your schedule. And so she really challenged me to start thinking about what opportunities do I have to be more flexible with myself and still do my job really well. And so what I found worked for me, I actually had a conversation with my leader at work, who's also a mom, about just what wasn't working for me and also what I knew would work better. And what would work better was honestly a hybrid work environment where I was in the office some and at home some. She was completely fine with it. And that was such a game changer to me to take those pressures off of myself, even just around those little moments of the morning. You know, I get up now, I worry about getting my kids ready, right? I throw on something, I get the kids to school, and then I come home and I get right my day going after that. It's a 20-minute breather, but it created so much space for me, the ability for me to be able to work hybrid and work from home occasionally. And I've been very open with my leader about this is really what's working in my life to move laundry, right? Or to get a dinner started or dishes or run out to the store and grab something that my kids are going to need later in the week versus feeling that all of those things had to cram into these like, right, very short hours after 5 o'clock when I'm picking up kids and now I'm like two hungry and tired kids that I'm trying to take to a store. It's just, I think recognizing those things, they don't usually have to be these big monumental changes, but all these little small changes make our life function so much better. And I think it's getting a comfort level with ourselves of acknowledging this is what I need right now in my life to be successful in my roles. And honestly, I was in my own head of thinking that other people would not be okay with that, right? This is what I need and other people are not going to be okay with what I need right now. And once I finally recognized that really people are okay with that, most people are willing to be flexible. Most people have raised kids and have seen some of those challenges and are willing to flex. It was a real game changer for me and able to find some balance and some things that worked a little bit better. And really, I would say it's the thing that has allowed me to continue working full time because up until finding some of that balance, it felt too stressful, right? It felt like I was eventually going to fizzle out and have to choose one over the other.
I want to drill down on this idea of not feeling like we are warranted to ask for flexibility during this time. Why do you think, and relating this to expectations and personal pressures and societal pressures and just this idea or this image that is portrayed, working mom, do it all, have it all together. Why do you
think it's so hard for us to step forward and ask for flexibility in this time. Why do we feel like, again, maybe we're failing if we're asking for help because we should be able to manage?
I think it comes to vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And most people are comfortable being vulnerable to acknowledge that I can't do this job the same way I did it 6 months ago or a year ago. It makes you feel right. You have to feel safe to say that. And I think depending on who we have in our lives, right, whether that's at work or at home, do we feel safe enough to acknowledge the areas that are really struggles for us? And for me personally, I did feel safe enough with my, right? I shared my leader as a mom, felt very safe talking with her about what I needed, and also felt that it wasn't going to be negatively viewed against me. I will say I've been in other roles, though, where I have not felt safe reported to a male leader for a long time. And I will just tell you, no context for the idea of a working mom, just no comprehension of what, right, mornings and evenings actually looked like. And so I felt like I was in a constant struggle in that role of trying to balance getting on early morning meetings while I still had children at home. I was trying to get ready while trying to juggle, how do I attend this after work, right, later dinner, right, meeting when I really need to be home putting my kids to bed. And that didn't feel safe, having that conversation, because it didn't feel like he would have acknowledged or appreciated that I can still do my job with there being some right flexibility to it. So I think also we have to have that appreciation even for people who aren't moms, right? Most people know moms in their life, right? And they've, right, even if you don't have kids yourself, you've seen just some of those struggles. And I think having that appreciation that just because someone needs to do something differently doesn't mean that they're going to do it less well. But I think we put that, again, on ourselves,
too. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And you're saying things are going to change. Things are going to be different. And I still feel like you said you need to feel comfortable being vulnerable, asking for flexibility and asking for a change. But I still think that why do we have to feel vulnerable? Because vulnerable is associated with this moment of weakness in a way. And why is it still considered a moment of weakness that things have to change when we become a mom? Because it's so ridiculous to me, considering that objectively things have to change. Objectively, as you say, we can still do our jobs, but we can do it differently. Why do we have to feel, or why are we made to feel weak against something that literally cannot be any other way? It's so confusing and perplexing to me, just unnecessary at the same time.
Yeah, and I think other moms get that, right? I remember actually so clearly I came back from maternity leave with my first daughter, so returning to the workforce for the first time. And I'm sitting in my office trying to get everything done and my head wrapped around it. And one of my colleagues that I work with came down the hall and just knocked on my door. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you're back, and just wanted to check in. And then just asked if I had a minute. And I said, yeah. So she came in and shut the door. And I just remember her being genuine about, she's, no one tells you how hard it is to be a new mom. And just while we do lots of challenging things in our life, right, figuring out how to be a mom is by far, right, at the top, the most challenging thing I've ever done. And it's changing constantly, right? And you're trying to figure it out as you go. And so I was so appreciative of her just acknowledging it out loud, right? Nobody had done that yet, of just acknowledging, like, this is so hard. And just, it was hard for her. And that's what she talked about, was how hard it was for her. And I think that made it easier for me to then acknowledge how hard it is for me. But I think, you know, I think you just raise a really good point, right? We put the pressures on ourselves, but then the pressure is on us, right? Everything does change. Obviously, we're taking care of another human. Obviously, we're going to have, right, if we're going to go back to work, we're going to have daycare or doctor visits or, right, sick children. And so, right, on the surface, I think everybody can acknowledge things obviously will have to look different. But because it then, by default, will impact their life in some way, I think there's, right, another challenge and another layer to that of, well, what does this mean for them? Or what do we fear it means for them? Or is it even just an irrational fear of what it might mean?
That's very interesting what you said, how we put that pressure on ourselves. And so it's on us to take the pressure off ourselves at the same time. And I think what I'm getting from your story is that we need to speak up for ourselves to change that environment so that it suits the change context that we're operating in. And thinking of it in a wider context, I think that the more we have women who are in a situation who are feeling able to ask that question, the more we can change and start setting a new standard of what things are like after we have kids. And hearing this work colleague that came to see you and was open about the situation and how hard it is amazing. But what still stands out for me in that story is that you said she came into my office and she closed the door. This was some hush conversation, like, no one else is going to get this, but let me tell you what it's really. That should be an open conversation. You'd be like, hey, Laura, welcome back to work. Things are going to be so hard and we are here to help find this new flexible balance that's going to need to happen now that you've moved to this next season in your life. That's what it should be, because that's the reality of what it actually is. That's what I think. I hope things will be more like that in the future. Something you also mentioned is this idea of balance, and how it's not a concept that was really important to me is that it's not always, you don't always have it all balanced. The idea of balance is actually like the average of working a lot and then realizing, okay, no, I need to spend more time with my kids now. So like working all week and then spending all weekend with your kids. So thinking of balance as an average overall.
Hi, just a quick message for you. Did you know that research shows knowing something is one thing, but actually implementing the concept in real life is where the real challenge lies? This is exactly where my coaching can make all the difference. Here's the truth. Personal growth isn't easy. You can't change who you are overnight, but you can absolutely change who you are becoming. And if you're listening to me right now, you already know that who you want to become is non-negotiable because of who it will serve. You're committed, and within you, you have what it takes. I can promise you that. But nothing changes if nothing changes. Working with a coach can ensure that everything you're learning turns into tangible change in real life. Coaching sessions with me are limited and they fill up fast. Message me on Instagram at startingcycles_themovement to secure yourself a spot one-on-one with me.
Has really helped me as well to, again, not feel like I'm failing, able to be present in both work and at home. One of the questions that we haven't got to yet, and so I want to just turn a little bit back now, was what would I need to understand about your upbringing to understand who you are now? And I want to break that into two parts, who you were before you became a mom, because you've talked a lot about that, and how that has now translated into who you are now that you are a mom.
So I grew up, I have an older brother, younger sister, grew up with my mom and dad in a very small rural community. We were together a lot. It was the 80s. We lived out in the country. Most of our time was spent at the house together, doing a lot of family things. My parents were both teachers. My context of even my parents going to work, I really went to work with my parents when I was younger. My mom taught preschool, so went to preschool with my mom as I got older. My dad taught in the middle school, would go to school with my dad after school, go back to his classroom. Actually, my brother, sister, and I all had my dad as a teacher at one point because it was such a small community. We all got to experience my dad in his working role. And I think that's really significant because while I had working parents growing up, I don't think that my context of working parents was the same as other kids, right? Working parents. And my mom did. My mom was actually a stay-at-home mom with us when we were very young and then went back to work when my sister started school. But I will say my parents included us in a lot of things that happened at work. So I have lots of memories in being in my parents' classroom before school, after school. My dad was a coach, actually. So I have lots of memories of going to practice and just being included in those things. And I think that to me has really shaped me of how do I include my children in what I do with my job rather than it having it be something, right, an entirely separate identity of who I am. Growing up in a small community and having parents who were teachers who were very interested in higher education for both my brother, my sister, and I, there was a strong emphasis on just college and education and, right? And so I think that really prompted me. I'm a very task-oriented person. I'll get things done. I'm a high achiever. So I think that led to college and then grad school and jobs and really looking for, okay, how do I grow myself? What's the next step? I think a lot of that came from my dad being a coach, right? I did sports as a kid too, right? Just that constant drive of how do you get better? How do you do the next things? I think that was so much of my life. I will say, I think I had a very full life before having kids. I had a very active social life. I would get together with friends. I actually teach yoga. So I would be at the yoga studio several days a week. I pretty much had something going on almost every day of the week, whether it was out with my husband or out with friends or doing something active. And then switching to your second part of that question, how did that all change when I had kids? So much of that just got halted in a good way of just like, this is the season of my life that I'm in right now. And slow, right? It's a lot of time at home. I remember the first time that after we had brought Ella home from the hospital and had been at home, just even the first time I left the house without her, it was so difficult. And I remember telling my husband, it felt so weird just to be out of the house without her for a minute, or the first time that I was actually out of the house and it was dark. Just because, right, like my whole life had evolved around her sleep schedule. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm outside at night. Like I haven't done this in months. This is so bizarre. And so it really just, I think, just shifted so much. And I think that's a necessary transition for moms, right? The first time, because if we're whole people, right? And if we're living our life fully, we have a very full life before having kids. And I think I had a very full life. We traveled, right? We did all of these things. It was really wonderful, but we wanted children. And so enter children, all of those things that I had before, right, are no longer fitting into this new, right, mold. And some of it does, right? Some of it fits in, but just looks differently. Some of it just doesn't fit in at all. And I think that's, while it's a wonderful transition and it's a necessary transition, it is such a hard transition because up to having my daughter, I had figured out how to make my life whole. I had figured out how to put things that added value and made me happy and just did these pieces. And now it felt like I was starting over a lot at ground zero. Okay, what does that look like now? What do my hobbies look like at home if I'm not going to be out? Or what does my social life look like now? Or even relaxation, self-care, all of those pieces. And I think that really changed and took a minute for me to find new things to say, okay, I do feel like I'm back to, right, being a whole person. And in the midst of that, the thing that we haven't talked about yet is that you're figuring out how to do all of that while your hormones, right, are all over the place. So it's right, like I'm not even in a good, like emotional space to be figuring out a lot of these things as I'm trying to navigate it.
That's one of the deepest conflicting things that just I keep coming back to. It's the moment we need to be as sturdy and have it all figured out so that we can be a parent to this tiny new little helpless baby is the moment in our lives when we are most unable to actually have it all figured out. And I often wonder, to what extent do you think wholeness in terms of developmentally what we need to provide to our children in the first critical years of their life compared with us being whole in those first 3 years at the same time? Do you think those things are to a degree at odds, or do you think there's a little bit of overlap, or how do you think those things play together, us being whole and doing everything we need to give our kids the foundation to be whole at the same time in those first years?
I think there's a lot of overlap. I think that we tend to maybe make the argument to ourselves that it doesn't fit, but I think it does. I think our kids, they don't need us to be perfect, right? They need us to be present. So I haven't shared with you. So my role, what I actually went to grad school for professionally was I was a child therapist. So they just need us to be present. They don't need us to be perfect. And I think so much of us trying to be perfect actually sets them up for failure later in life. I think modeling to them, there have been times where, you know, just apologizing and teaching our kids that parents can make mistakes. We had planned to do something, it doesn't fit in the schedule. They can be really disappointed. I feel like I say this to my daughter every day. It's okay to have big emotions. We can figure this out together, right? We'll figure it out. My husband always says, right, growing up is hard, but she doesn't have to do it alone. We say that a lot when she's having big feelings about things. But I think it's just that presence. I think it's okay for us to be emotional at times. I think it's okay for us to also find the balance and those things that are going to give us a sense of wholeness, but also talk to our kids about why that's important. We talked to Ella, my four-year-old, and we've been talking to her for years about this, but both my husband and I, there are times where we might leave the house in the evening or get plugged in places. And so we talk with her about what we're doing and why it's important. And she'll say things like, oh, my dad's a helper, right? And my dad's going out to be a helper now. And so she's also starting, I think, to build these values of things that help my husband and I to be whole. She's recognizing are things of value and, right, things that she will also aspire to figure out how to fit into her own life as well. And I won't say that doesn't mean that there are not times where it's not at conflict, right, with things as well. You know, my sort of my own mantra that I keep saying to myself right now when there's something, when I find myself being in that pool of just maybe envy, right, of someone, what someone else's life gets to be, right? I see them on that vacation or I hear about like how they went out. And I just keep reminding myself, like, it's just not my turn right now. It doesn't mean not ever that I'm going to go do those things, but it's also just not my turn to do those things. It's my turn to be doing other things. And there's so much about motherhood I love. And so I always keep trying to come back to just like the gratitude and the appreciation that I get to be these kids, even when it's really difficult, right? And they're waking up five times a night because they're teething, right? Or, right, something has happened. I get to be the person who gets to give them comfort. I'm the one who they're seeking out, right? And trying to remind myself to be grateful for that and just appreciate that as well. Because it's a season that will also pass and then I'll miss that later and I'll want that time back with them. But I think the idea that we are at conflict with ourselves, I don't know that I think that's the way that it was designed, right? I think that we're designed to be human and that we should model that humanity to our kids, right? With reason, right? They don't need to hear all the stressors that parents are going on, but they also don't need to see us as parents being robotic. Right? Parents can have emotions. They can get angry. They can be frustrated. They can be sad, right? They can be excited about something. And I think that's how our kids also learn how to do those things for themselves as they have us as examples to walk down that journey.
It brings me back to the question we talked about earlier of what does it actually mean to be a successful mother compared against that idea of feeling like we're failing? And based on what we've just talked about, I feel like the answer should be You're a successful mother if you're a real person in front of your kids.
Yeah. And my husband and I talk about this often when we, right, if we get pulled into the weeds with something that's going on, right? Toys on the floor, right? A behavior, right? Meltdown that happens. Just the ins and outs of kids that are growing up. And one of the things that we frequently come back to is what is our end goal? And our end goal is not that the toys get picked up today, right? Not that we were respectful in this moment at the grocery store. But our end goal is at the end of the day, do our kids know that they are loved, that we will support them no matter what? Are we raising adults that are going to be well-adjusted, right? Happy, healthy, functioning, that they can raise kids and have relationships? And that doesn't mean every day has to be perfect, right? I think we try to keep our mind set on what's the bigger battle that we're fighting. And the bigger battle is, are my kids respectful, happy, healthy, right? Children who know that we love them. And it's okay that they yelled and screamed and had a meltdown at the store today because that's just today and that's not, right? And there might be a lot of things that went into that today that happened for them. So I think also that idea of perfection, right? What does it mean to be a good mom? We're judging in those small moments rather than the big moments, right? And it's the small moments of this didn't go the way that we wanted it to, or I didn't say the thing that I thought I should have said, right? And if that stuff in the big picture really doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? What are the things that really matter? And are we doing the things that really matter well? And we don't even have to do those small things 100% of the time, but most of the time, are we getting it on point, right? Most of the time, are we demonstrating patience to our children, right? And showing them it's okay to make mistakes. And it's okay then the one time that we don't show our kid patience and we get frustrated and we have to come back around to them and model an apology, because it also gives our children the opportunity to practice forgiveness, right? And my daughter's really good about saying that. She's like, it's okay, right? I forgive you. It's okay. But I also think that's such a learned skill for her, because other people are going to hurt her feelings throughout life. Not that's our goal, but she also has to recognize that people make mistakes and people aren't perfect and things don't go your way all of the time. And so moms and dads and teachers and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas are no different. That's just part of being human. And it also doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. And how can we help to just instill, I think, what's really important, right? What's the big picture here that we're looking at?
I am so inspired by what you said, that we judge ourselves on the small moments as opposed to the bigger picture. And it's so true. You can have a full day where everything is being great. It's the weekend. You've spent the whole day with your kid. And then it gets to the end of the day and they have a meltdown and you're just like, I'm failing. And you just forget that you have the majority of the day with them doing all the right things. And yet you judge yourself in that moment. And then that colors your whole view of how you're doing. But when you take a step back and you're like, that's actually ridiculous and it's inevitable. And again, it's what it means to be a real person. Throughout this conversation, I'm just keep coming back to the thought of this idea of perfection seems to be a real inhibitor to us accepting that we are actually succeeding as mothers in terms of what is realistic. The unrealistic expectations is, it's just huge and they're so prevalent. And we continually judge ourselves by something that is unattainable. And we put so much of our resources into trying to reach this unattainable standard and being hard on ourselves for not achieving something that is impossible to actually achieve. And yet actually all along, we're doing fine. If we're able to get the conversation out there that to be real is to be fine, that is actually what motherhood is really about. And as you say, it's necessary because our kids are going out into the real world and they are going to come up against conflict, and the way they learn to handle it is through their experiences with us. Why do you think we're so tainted by this idea of perfection and just unrealistically trying to never lose our patience? How do you think we've come to be in a society where that is the prevalent way of thinking when the reality is so different?
There's not a lot of reality in our society, right? Everything is very much, whether it's the filter on the picture or what people choose to post on social media. And I get it, right? People don't want to put their most vulnerable moments out there for the world to see and judge. But at the same time, we're then bombarded all day long with other people's false, right, perception that their life is perfect and then we're somehow failing outside of that, right? And I always appreciate people who put on, whether it's their social media feed, the really wonderful, right, family photo shots. And then they also include the ones where the kids are screaming and melting down. And this is what happened right behind the scenes. Because I think that adds a layer of realness, right? Of just, yeah, everybody loves the family photo and the vacation and the this, but, and the vacation was wonderful. But what you didn't say was, right, the three tantrums you had on while you were traveling, right? And the sleepless night, and now the routine was different, and right, all these other little things that happened. But really, I think comes from people aren't willing to be vulnerable because that's what our society, that's where we're at, right? Things in society aren't real right now. And how many times do we have to remind our kids or even ourselves of that as we're scrolling through social media? And people only post about the good things that are happening at work, the opportunities that they're being given, the new certifications that they have if you're in your professional role, And then you go to your social media with your friends and family, and people are only talking about the trips that they've been on and the sports teams mm-hmm. that their kids are doing and these family photos. No one's talking about the difficulty. And right when people ask you how you're doing, right, no one's going to be that genuine, right? But that would be an awkward thing in our society for somebody to say, right, oh, how are you? The expected answer is, oh, I'm fine. And I really am fine. But really, the answer is, oh, I'm pretty tired because I woke up 5 times last night, right? And I had to, right, one of my children wet the bed. And so I'm doing laundry at 6 o'clock. That's the reality. But that would be a weird way for me to respond to mm-hmm. someone. And I think that's just our societal, right? The society that we live in right now and this false reality where we only present ourselves in this perfect, right, way. And I think of, I worked a lot with adolescents. They won't even take pictures of themselves without using a filter, right? Or, right, what is it, like this idea that my physical appearance has to be perfect, my social life has to be perfect, my, right, my work life has to be perfect. And it's not real. But because how we live, I think it prevents people from being real, because then you feel like the outlier to acknowledge when things aren't, right, fitting into that perfect mold.
And yet behind closed doors, all of us are actually being real. It's yeah. You're right. It has literally just permeated every level to the point that when we say, how are you? We're not even interested in the real answer. We're just, fine, great, cool, move on. So yeah, what I'm getting from this is like advice that I would give other mothers to try to change or improve the course of things for the future is be real, share what's real, just get the real message out there. So that becomes the norm. And when someone asks, how are you? Be like, get ready. I'm going to tell you the truth. Things are really not okay right now. I am falling apart at the seams. I have no idea how to be a mom. I have no time to find the information. All I want is to do the best I can for my kid. And I feel incredible guilt about trying to do that. But I'm still here and I'm trying. And that's how I am. How are you?
There's so much value in that, right? Of just that ability to be genuine. So I shared, I work in mental health. We've made it normal mm-hmm. just with my team that I to not be fine. Like that has really been something that we've really focused on, is like saying that you're fine. Like we're going to dig a little bit deeper, right? Whether it's kids or not kids as well. And so my team pretty regularly comes in and it's, how are you? And we do get the unloading. But I also think that people need to understand sometimes you just need to unload, because then the question is always, right, is there anything I can do to help you? And a lot of times it's no, I just needed you to know where I was really at with it. I'm really okay. And I think that's the other piece, like okay with things not always being fine either. I don't need anything from you. I'm still going to get everything done. I just also need to be real and acknowledge this is where I think the more that we can be real with other people, what I have found is the more genuine and the more real I am with people in my life, the more real they are in turn to me, right? It's like reciprocal. Yeah. And so when I acknowledge to people, my staff at work who report to me, everyone knows I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. Most of them have at some point in time been on the phone with me and heard screaming children in the background, right? It's just, I acknowledge it. They know where my priorities are. They also know where I will support them at work. But I think because I acknowledge that, I make jokes of it and I say, like, my life right now is controlled chaos in the mornings, yeah. right? I'll always pick up your phone call, but, right, I can't promise what you're going to hear in the background. Because I acknowledge that to them, somehow opened up the door for them to acknowledge their own vulnerability back to me of where they're struggling with some things or what's hard for them. I just had a conversation with a new mom yesterday who's coming back to work and is putting her child in daycare for the first time. And so we just had the conversation of just, oh, how hard that is, just right on your heart as a mom to leave them. And I think some people don't understand that either for working moms. They think, oh, you're going to work, you're totally okay leaving your kid. It's no, but I feel this pull of I want to be in both worlds. And also I wouldn't be, I say that about myself, I'm not wired to be a stay-at-home mom. I would not be a whole person if the only thing I was doing was taking care of my children. Like that would be wonderful in some ways, right? I'm envious where like that is like wholeness piece for people, but there would be something missing for me personally. And so for me to be whole, I also have to have, right, this other part of me. It doesn't mean it's still not hard to drop my kids off at daycare, right? And so I think just even that just talking about it, right? These things are difficult, but it doesn't mean that we don't want to do them. Yeah. We still want to figure it out, and we're trying to figure it out. We're just stumbling along the way, yeah.
Right? We're trying to do the next right thing, right? Yeah. What's the next thing that we need to do here?
And I think that it's so important to talk about what a huge feat of strength it is for any mom, whether they decide to give up a career and be a stay-at-home mom or continue their career and have to drop their kids at daycare. It's like, we need to acknowledge this deep sacrifice and pain that is associated with both of those things, the complete, it's whatever way you look at it, it is this huge personal sacrifice that we are making and still continuing along with our life in the process. And the fact that we're able to do it, we need to take a moment and just be like, it's a huge thing to accomplish and it is so hard and we're handling it, and we just need to acknowledge that reality. Again, more of these real conversations that just get swept over. And as you say, most of the time, it's not actually, we're not asking for advice or support or help. We just need acknowledgement that this is something super hard and we're doing it. And furthering on from that, what's really important to me in having these raw, real conversations is, yes, in the moment, we just want to be validated. But at the same time, when we truly acknowledge the reality, we can then properly problem solve on how to actually make the situation better. Similar to your work situation where it's, look, the reality is I cannot operate in the way that I did previously. It is unrealistic for you to expect that of me. That is the root cause of the problem. Now we can actually find real solutions because we've accurately identified what's really going on here. And I think that these real conversations will not only validate our experience as mothers and be like, what you're going through is normal. So stop feeling like it's not. And that will take off a whole bunch of pressure. And then on top of that, now that we've actually identified what's really going on here, let's see what might actually help to make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're coming up to the end of our time, but I would love to finish off with a question, which we've covered a little bit throughout this conversation, but I say, talking about your reality right now, take yourself to a place in this moment where you could speak your mind without any negative consequences to your relationship, to your self-image, to anything. What do you need to say?
Well, tell myself I'm doing a good job. I think just honestly that reminder of you're doing okay. Let go of this idea of what you think it should look like. And I think reminding myself to be present in what it does look like, because even though it might look different, it's still so good, right? It's so good, even when it looks different than what I would have expected it to. And telling myself that when I am hanging on too tightly to my expectations, I'm missing those moments then. And that's what I tell myself, is just be present. Just let it be what it is right now. Enjoy what it is right now. And just, yeah, you're doing okay.
So stop holding on to the idea of what it should look like and take a look at how wonderful it really is. Thank you so much for taking the time and all the advice that you shared, all the insights. It's definitely given me more granularity in the way that I think about my role as a mother, and that helps me to have a more realistic understanding of how I'm actually performing right now. And I know that other mothers will appreciate that too. So just thank you so much for that.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
That was my conversation with Laura. This episode carried a great insight for me, something I refer back to often as a way of calming and refocusing myself as a mother. And that is that we judge ourselves as mothers by the one thing we inevitably do wrong, rather than by all the things we do right.
I have collected a great many insights such as this from a diverse range of literature and conversations and interviews like this one that we as mothers can use as shortcuts to our well-being. Mantras, if you will, that we can say to ourselves in the moment to recalibrate our perspective to serve our well-being rather than to take away from it. And in doing so, we can continue to cultivate experiences where, no matter what happens in the world, we can get back to a calm and regulated place, a place of wholeness, knowing that the more time we deliberately spend there, the more our brain will grow to be that way automatically. This is how we rewire our brains to the ones we want our kids to emulate. The Starting Cycles program incorporates many of these kinds of motivational phrases, a lot of which I share on the Starting Cycles Instagram page. So if you're needing to be uplifted, please go and have a look at the posts. There's a lot there to replete you. And please remember, I would love to hear from you. You can message me on Instagram at startingcycles_themovement or WhatsApp me directly from the Starting Cycles website. Lastly, I am always looking for brave and vulnerable women to join me on the podcast. Please reach out if you want to be a guest. I would love to have you. See you in the next episode.